Next case for argument is United States v. Morris. Ms. Bailey.
May it please the Court, I am Miranda Bearcat. Jessica Bailey will be doing the rebuttal. There was an error in the scheduling. We are here on behalf of defendant appellant Lonnie D. Morris. Mr. Morris was convicted for possession with intent to distribute heroin, for being a convicted felon in possession of a firearm, and for possessing a firearm in furtherance of a drug trafficking crime. There are three issues before this court. The first is a sufficiency of the evidence challenge to Morris's conviction for possession with intent to distribute heroin and for possessing a firearm and for being a felon in possession of a firearm. The second issue before this court is whether the district court abused its discretion in admitting the expert testimony of Sergeant Mark Welsh. And the third issue before this court is whether the district court abused its discretion in refusing to give the requested jury instruction defining in furtherance of as set forth in Section 924C. I'd like to start with appellant's evidentiary challenge to his conviction for possession with intent to distribute the heroin found inside the basement of 707 Albert Avenue. It is our view that under the precedent in this circuit, in particular Herrera, DeNovo, and Windham, the government failed to present sufficient evidence connecting Morris as opposed to any other individual to the drugs in that house.
Who resided in the house?
An individual named Tamika Wilson.
Who?
Tamika Wilson rented the premises from Brian Bailey.
Who was Ms. Wilson? Did she have a relationship to the defendant in this case?
At the time,
there seems to be a disagreement in the briefs on this matter. That's why I'm asking.
At the time, she was not his wife. They had a relationship, but they were not married. The cases that I
girlfriend,
just mentioned.
Would that be a correct characterization?
It could be. I know right now they do have a relationship, but at the time they might have been. The cases
were
I just.
Were people living there?
Were other people besides Ms. Wilson?
Yes.
Ms. Wilson and several children.
Any other adults?
Not that I'm aware of.
Well, is your theory that she was the drug dealer?
My theory is that there's evidence that multiple people had access to the house.
Well, what does that mean, multiple people had access? What's that about?
The government had a burden to prove that it was Morris.
Yeah, what do you mean, multiple people had access? What does that mean? I have no idea what that means.
Well, as the evidence shows that there was a fingerprint of an unidentified individual on the bag of heroin found in the basement.
That doesn't sound like multiple people.
Ms. Wilson.
Like one fingerprint.
One fingerprint. Who was identified?
Where did the multiple people come from?
The multiple people are Ms. Wilson and whoever had access to
no,
the house.
No, you say multiple people had access to the house, but all you've mentioned is a fingerprint. So where are the multiple people?
Ms. Wilson, the children who resided there, the other people who had access to the cars.
Who are the multiple adults who have access?
Well,
a lot of people had keys to the front door, or what?
No, neither our side nor the government has.
So why do you talk about multiple people had access?
Ms. Wilson, several children, and the people who were in Ms. Wilson's life had access.
Irrelevant. Stop mentioning the children. Who were the multiple adults who had access to the house? Obviously, the defendant and Wilson. That's two. Fingerprint.
There was evidence that Shanika Morris drove the Cirrus that was parked in the driveway of 707 Albert Avenue. There was testimony that Derek Johnson, one of Morris's...
Was that his wife?
This was one of his daughters, Your Honor.
His daughter.
Exactly. And there was testimony that other individuals whom Seanette, his wife at that time, did not know drove that car, and that car was repeatedly parked in the driveway of 707 Albert Avenue. But I would like to point...
Where was the key to the car kept?
The key to the car of the Cirrus? I'm not sure who kept it, but...
The key to the other car was kept in that house.
The key to the other car was... There was testimony by Detective Gambini that it was on the kitchen counter on the day of the search. But I'd like to point out that under precedent in this circuit, the government can prove constructive possession in only limited ways. It can present physical, tangible evidence that the defendant exclusively controlled or was
substantial. Why do you say under limited ways? I don't understand that.
Because there are two different...
How can the law anticipate every possible circumstance that might enable an inference of possession?
The law does not anticipate, but it tries to prevent a person from being convicted for guilt by association, and that's the danger that this case...
He's frequenting the house. He's the, former husband, or still has a relationship with her. He acts in a guilty fashion. He's there frequently.
Well, there's Kate.
Heroin is there. No one else has been linked to the sale of the heroin. It's a little thin. I agree with you there.
That does not discharge the government's burden to establish a direct link between Morris
conclusion.
And...
That's your conclusion. I'm listing circumstances which suggest that he is indeed the drug dealer.
Well, under de novo, it says that a marriage relationship is not sufficient to establish...
There are a number of different things. It's not just the marriage relationship. There are drugs there. He's there a lot. He acts in a guilty fashion. And there aren't any alternative. You mentioned the multiple access, but I don't see who the alternative suspect is.
The unidentified individual whose fingerprint was on the bag of heroin in the basement. Multiple cases in the circuit establish that mere presence in a house or a property is not sufficient to establish constructive possession.
The drugs were in the basement and he ran up the basement stairs and refused to stop and was caught outside.
Right, but what we're arguing here is that the similarities between this case and Herrera, for example, or Windham, are so strikingly similar that it would be inconsistent to uphold this conviction. In Herrera, the defendant...
Can we consider the fact that he could be thought of being fleeing the scene?
He could be, but it does not answer or address the concern that...
Does he have an explanation for his action of trying to get away?
The record does not indicate that he had an explanation. Your Honor, we would like to save some time for rebuttal.
I want to ask you about the in furtherance instruction. What do you think would be a good instruction in these cases?
Well, given that the government's burden is to establish that the firearm was used to promote or advance the drug trafficking crime, it would be a good instruction to inform the jury that such is the case. And our position is that...
What's the difference between promote or advance and further?
The term further itself, we argue, is ambiguous. And in order...
Promote or advance is ambiguous. They're all abstract words. What does promote or advance add to further?
It indicates to the jury that the government's burden is to establish a connection between the firearm and the drug trafficking crime.
Promote, advance, and further. I don't see how they differ.
Well, perhaps instruction could elaborate further
elaborate further and see if you can make it more concrete.
Right. The court should instruct the jury that it is the government's burden to establish that the firearm was, in some sense, helped the drug trafficking crime advance or helped it move forward. Indicating to the jury that there has to be a connection between the two would be the appropriate instruction in this case.
Why doesn't the word further indicate there has to be a connection between the two?
Because under Section 924C, there has been a great deal of case law interpreting the two, and such case law indicates that they are juries might be inclined to confuse them. So
confuse them with what do you mean?
Well, there's case law indicating that the level of participation required under each prong of the statute.
How does promote, advance, or help disambiguate further?
I think it should be...
Further and help. What's the difference between further and help?
The way that the instructions, well, the lack of instructions here did not, our argument is that the jury was not aware that there had to be a specific connection between the firearm.
Why has to be a specific connection? What is that? Why, where did you get specific connection from?
Under case law in the circuit, Castile, the government's burden is to tie the firearm to the drug trafficking crime.
Now you have tie. You have tie, you have specific connection, you have further, you have promote, advance. I don't see what any of these add further.
Our ultimate argument is that the jury should be aware what the government's burden is.
It should be, but you have to come up with some form of words that's more illuminating than the word further.
The government's burden is to prove that the defendant...
Yeah, I'm just interested in what words could make this clearer to the jury.
I could submit something, a supplemental brief, to but our argument is that in the circumstances of Morris's trial, it was not clear to the jury what the government's burden was. And because it wasn't, it wasn't...
You can't offer something clearer to the judge. You can't complain about the instruction he gives.
The defense counsel did offer something that was actually cited in... But it was quoted from case law, and he offered that.
Right. And the judge said, you know, quoting case law to a jury, it doesn't necessarily clarify things for them. Okay, well, anyway, thank you, Ms. Bailey. So, Mr. Carner...
Good morning. May it please the Court. My name is Mark Carner. I'm an assistant United States attorney in the Western Division of the Northern District of Illinois. I was also one of the prosecutors at trial. Our position is that the evidence taken in its entirety that we presented at trial proved the defendant guilty beyond a reasonable doubt of all three counts. Moving to the evidence of the defendant's constructive possession of the heroin. Excuse me. I'd like to point out that there was a reference made in the reply brief on page 13 that claimed that we did not address the issue of the defendant's possession of the heroin in the car. I'd just like to point out to the court that the count one that charged the defendant with possession with intent to distribute combined the heroin that was found in the car along with the heroin that was found in the basement. So we did address that.
Although the amount you found in the car would not have been sufficient to prove intent to distribute it.
That's correct, Your Honor. The evidence shows, like you said, beyond a reasonable doubt that he constructively possessed the heroin. The defendant, first and foremost, the defendant was caught emerging from the basement that contained 23.6 grams of heroin hidden between the mattress and the wall in the basement. The other paraphernalia that was found on top of a clothes washing machine was a razor blade, a cell phone, and two empty baggies. The only other things in the basement were the mattress, the washing machine and dryer, and some debris. And he was the sole occupant of the basement at the time the police entered to conduct the raid. He was also the sole occupant of the Chrysler Cirrus that was observed by Detective Gambini making three different... the defendant was inside that Cirrus, three different street locations in Rockford, making three different hand-to-hand exchanges with unknown men.
At one time that the Cirrus returned to the residence, as I recall, to the house.
Yes, sir.
And it was observed by Detective Gambini. And another person came up the car behind. There was an exchange of items. Did the detective testify as to what the defendant did when the other car drove away?
Yes. He testified that after a brief period of time, the defendant got out and entered 707 Albert, the residence that was the target of the search warrant.
So there was also evidence, in other words, of his using this as a headquarters or a stash house. He was using it as part of the business.
That was the inference we argued to the jury, Your Honor. There was evidence that Detective Gambini had seen the defendant at that residence at least five times within the weeks prior to the drug raid. Tamika Wilson was the registered tenant or the signed-on tenant for the...
Who is this Tamika Wilson?
She's currently...
You say it's his wife. They're closed-mouthed about this, basically. What's the story?
The testimony was that at the time of trial, Tamika Wilson was his wife. At the time of the raid, was it just a girlfriend?
Do we know from whom the house was rented? Do we know the lessor?
The landlord, yes, Mr. Kelly, I believe. And he testified at trial as to the circumstances surrounding the signing of the lease.
I see.
In addition to...
What did he say? Who was at the... Ms. Wilson signed the lease, I gather. Was the defendant at all involved in the actual leasing of the property?
Mr. Kelly did not say that.
I see. Thank you.
So we have the exclusive possession, presence of Mr. Morris in the basement. We have him occupying the surveillance, the Cirrus during the three hand-to-hand exchanges. On top of that, we have his flight, Mr. Morris's flight when the police entered the residence to search it. We have Mr. Morris's post-arrest statements to the detectives that he had no probable cause to get in my house. This case is dropped. We have, on top of that, his attempt to suborn perjury with Dante Webb to persuade him to falsely claim that he registered one of the cars in his name, the Lincoln Town Car that was found in the garage, and lied to the grand jury. And on top of that, you have Morris's fingerprint on one of the bags that contained some of the money, the $4,920 that was found next to the .30 caliber carbine in the trunk
of
the car.
You have one fingerprint and they have another.
That's right.
And you also have the circumstantial evidence that he used the house as a stash house and conducted apparently other operations on the premises.
That he was present prior to the raid, I want to be clear about this. We know from surveillance that he was seen at that house on prior occasions.
Exchanging packages with this other guy.
No, sir. The only evidence that we had prior to the raid was the one, as Your Honor pointed out, the one hand-to-hand exchange that was made from within the car by Mr. Morris and the unknown man.
And that was made on the premises?
In front of the premises, yes.
In front of the premises. Okay.
I missed what you said about the Lincoln Town Car. That was his car?
But it was not registered in his name, Judge. That Lincoln Town Car was registered in Dante Webb's name. It was parked in the garage at 707 Albert. It was the car that was accessed by that unique key on the keychain found in the kitchen. And it contained, in the trunk, it contained...
We don't know whether he actually drove it or whether Wilson drives it.
That's right. There was no evidence of anyone driving it.
Is there any evidence that Morris has a job or...
There was no evidence of that.
Source of legitimate income?
No. There was no evidence of that.
Who bought the car?
I don't know.
What was the attempt to suborn perjury?
Well, I think an inference from the comments made by Morris to Dante Webb after his arrest suggests that Morris had a hand in acquiring the Lincoln Town Car because he went to him and said,
We
used your name, and we need you to say that you bought the car and asked us to store it while you mean Dante Webb, were locked up in jail.
So we could draw an inference, but it wasn't any direct evidence we bought.
That's right. On the issue of the instruction, our argument simply is that, as this court in Castile noted, the phrase in furtherance of has a plain meaning that is well within the grasp of jurors, number one, and number two, that they did not suffer any prejudice by the court's instruction, the way the court instructed.
Okay, well, I'm sorry.
Excuse me. There was a gun possession as well, right?
Yes.
And that comes from which guns? There were more than one gun.
Right. The gun that Morris was charged with possessing was the Jennings .22 caliber handgun.
One was in the side.
That's right. It was in the bottom compartment of the driver's side door of the Cirrus.
He wasn't charged with the other, with the .30 caliber.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Thank you.
This was the car and the side of the car from which he was seen dealing drugs, am I right?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr.
Thank
Carter.
You.
So, Ms. Bailey, we'll give you, or Ms. Barakat, give you a moment. Unlimited time.
Good morning, Your Honors. I'm Jessica Bailey. There was an error in the schedule. So I'd just like to respond briefly to some of the points that Mr. Carner raised on behalf of the government, specifically starting with Mr. Morris's presence in the basement. Under this circuit's precedent, mere presence alone is not enough to establish.
But that wasn't the only thing. He ran, didn't he?
He did, but also simply, you know, evidence of that can be taken as evidence of guilt. But again, our position is even with those two pieces of evidence. Excuse me?
You have to put everything together. You can't go one by one and say each one is insufficient by itself.
Our position is still that even putting those together, this case does not add up under this circuit's precedent to a conviction for constructive possession of the drugs in that basement. This case is much more similar to the cases of Herrera, DeNovo, and Windham, where those defendants also were present in the house. They had been seen on prior occasions at that residence. They had relationships with the people who owned the house. And all of those convictions were overturned for insufficient evidence.
What do you make of the statement where he said, referred to it as my house?
Our position is that that type of evidence isn't, while it can be considered, it's not the type of evidence that can support this conviction. Statements, while the statement was allegedly made, it's hard to understand exactly what was said. It can be taken out of context. It can be interpreted.
Is there evidence he lived somewhere else?
There was. His wife at the time of the arrest testified that he was living with her at her residence. Also, along those lines, there was also evidence that he was employed on and off. His wife testified to that. There was also evidence that Miss Wilson, who was renting the premises from Brian Bailey, was the name of the landlord. She rented, the lease was solely in her name. She paid all of the rent. That was testified to at trial as well.
Was there a cross-examination of the wife, or was her testimony accepted?
She was cross-examined, but there was nothing.
They didn't have to believe her, did it?
They didn't have to believe her, but just again, under the circuit's precedent, that type of evidence, there was no evidence here that he resided at 707 Albert Avenue. Nothing was found, no belongings of his were found, and Detective Gambini testified that they were looking for items to tie him to that house, and nothing was found. So, thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Ms. Baraka and Ms. Bailey. So you were appointed, I take it. We're grateful to you for your accepting the appointment and your efforts on behalf of the client.